This episode of Markets Daily is sponsored by Kava and BCB Group.
It's Friday, May 20th, 2022, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, a look at what's behind the biggest stablecoin, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin and Ether are each sticking to their recent tight orbits right around $30,000 per BTC and $2,000 per Ether. The top token by market cap has lost 3.2% since Sunday, with some analysts saying it's poised to extend an already record-length 7-week losing streak. Activity in BTC options also suggests rising bearish sentiment among investors. With the price of Bitcoin increasingly driven by traditional markets, there hasn't been much relief on the economic front, where growing concerns over a U.S. recession are colliding with a U.S. central bank that says it's determined to tamp down fast-rising inflation, even as U.S. stocks appear poised to enter a bear market. The cryptocurrency's correlation with stocks has strengthened recently, partly because so many traditional investors are now trading it. So Bitcoin is likely to face ongoing pressure from any tightening of financial conditions. And while traditional financial conditions have a big impact on crypto, the inverse is apparently not true. That's according to a new report from big bank Goldman Sachs, which predicts that the recent plunge in cryptocurrency prices won't, in and of itself, create much of a drag on the economy. The bank said an important consideration is the share of crypto wealth held by investors in other countries. Goldman estimates that U.S. households own roughly one-third of the global crypto market's $1.3 trillion market cap. That means that the recent decline in the market cap is very small relative to U.S. household net worth, which stood at $150 trillion in the fourth quarter of 2021. Recent crypto price declines have likely reduced U.S. crypto holdings by about $300 billion, and those holdings now account for only 0.3% of household net worth, the note said. And that stands in sharp contrast to traditional markets, where equities accounted for 33% of household net worth at the end of last year, and the recent stock market declines have likely reduced household net worth by about $8 trillion, the note added. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts Lila Ledesma, Will Canny, Sharia Mawa, and managing editor Brad Cowan. Bitcoin is currently trading at $30,193. That's up nearly 2% in the last 24 hours. While Ether is trading at $2,033 per token. That's up almost 3% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, global stocks and U.S. equity futures rose this morning, with Wall Street's S&P 500 clawing its way back from a full-on bear market, at least according to the charts. In China, stocks recovered as regulators cut a key interest rate. Futures tied to the S&P 500 climbed by 0.9%, suggesting the broad market index may recover after it reached the lowest level since March of 2021 on Thursday, narrowly avoiding a 20% drop from recent highs, which traders consider bear market territory. NASDAQ 100 futures were up 1.2% this morning, suggesting tech stocks may have a better day after a few rough sessions. Futures for the Dow Jones Industrial Average also gained by 0.8%. Overseas, the stocks Europe 600 added 1.3%, London's FTSE 100, and Germany's DAX each added 1.5%. Continuing to the east, Asian stocks also rose, with the Shanghai Composite climbing 1.6% and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index jumping by 3%. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 added 1.25 points. Today's traditional markets coverage comes from the Wall Street Journal and CNN. And stay tuned. After the break, we'll be back with a few quick headlines that we're tracking today, with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode, as always. Then, after the headlines, a look at what our columnist wants to see in the latest transparency report from the number one stablecoin. We'll be right back.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins. Lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. BCB Group is the leading global provider of business accounts and trading services for the digital asset economy. With a dedicated focus on institutional payment services, BCB Group provides business banking, cryptocurrency, and foreign exchange market liquidity for crypto-engaged financial institutions. BCB business accounts offer multi-currency transaction banking solutions. With Blink Instant Settlements Network, you can move money instantly 24/7 with no transaction fees. Visit bcbgroup.com/coindesk to find out more about how BCB is empowering the global financial revolution.
Turning to big picture news, with inflation running rampant, unemployment falling, and wages soaring, the Jerome Powell-led Federal Reserve waited too long to reverse its ultra-low interest rate policies and a massive bond buying program. This delay has now been called a mistake by former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. Bernanke, the man behind the extraordinary monetary experiment we call quantitative easing and near-zero interest rates, recently spoke with CNBC's Andrew Ross Sorkin, saying, quote, "The question is, why did they delay that? Why did they delay their response? I think in retrospect, yes, it was a mistake," end quote. According to Bernanke, Chairman Powell got it wrong last year when inflation began to run higher than the Fed's 2% target, though Fed members widely said inflation would be transitory. What's disturbing is inflation was not transitory, and the monetary wonks operating the printing presses clearly didn't understand. Their inability to tighten conditions last summer has caused the Fed to be way behind the curve, hence today's oversized rate hikes. So, how behind the curve is the Powell-led Fed? Well, the Taylor rule suggests the Fed funds rate should be over 11%, not around 1%. The Taylor rule is a formula that can predict or guide how central banks should alter interest rates due to changes in the economy. There's a lot more to this fascinating article, which you can find links to in the show notes. In related news, global investors massively cut their positions in bond and equity funds in the week that ended on May 18th on concerns of inflation and that rising interest rates will lead to a recession. According to Refinitiv Lipper, investors sold more than $18.5 billion worth of global bond funds, marking the biggest weekly outflows since February 16th. Both U.S. and European bond funds witnessed net selling worth $8.5 and $8 billion respectively, while Asian funds attracted small inflows. Reuters has that report. Turning to international news, and in case you were looking for a pretense, the collapse of the UST stablecoin has pretty much got you covered. The UK's financial regulator and its finance ministry, known as the Treasury, says they will scrutinize the collapse of the Terra ecosystem's crypto tokens while creating new rules for crypto assets. Recent market instability in algorithmic stablecoins, quote, will absolutely need to be taken into account, end quote, when the Financial Conduct Authority works with the Treasury to create the rules later this year, the authority's executive director for markets told Bloomberg. CoinDesk's Chamomile Shumba has the details on this one. In other news, the president of Panama on Wednesday said that he may veto a recently approved bill that would allow citizens to use cryptocurrencies as a form of payment in the Central American country. Though describing the bill as a good law, the Panamanian chief executive said that with the current information he has, he's inclined not to give his signature. Quote, "I have to be very careful if the law has clauses related to money laundering activities or anti-money laundering activities," he said, continuing, "That is very important to us," end quote. CoinDesk's Andreas Engler reports. Turning to industry news, today we'll be talking a decent amount about Tether, both the oldest and largest stablecoin by circulating supply. The top dollar peg token maintains reserves to back the tens of billions of Tether dollars circulating in the crypto economy. But what form do they hold those billions in? You might think that it's all cash or government debt, and that's increasingly true. But many billions are invested in other fashions, most controversially in commercial paper or corporate debt. So today, first we'll take a preliminary look at the latest just-released quarterly transparency report, and then after we finish the headlines, we'll hear from an expert opinion piece written before this release on what they expected to see in it and the trajectory past transparency reports have shown. But first, according to the March 31st, 2022 Tether Transparency Report, the company reduced its commercial paper holdings by 17% from $24.2 billion to $20.1 billion in the first quarter. The majority of the $20.1 billion, around $18 billion of it, is corporate debt known as commercial paper, rated A1 and A2, which qualifies as investment grade, according to the report. A list of rating agencies grading the commercial paper wasn't specified other than Standards & Poor's ratings or equivalent ratings from Moody's, Fitch, or other nationally recognized statistical rating organizations in the footnotes. The geographic location of the commercial paper issuers was also not in the report. The reduction in commercial paper has continued with a further 20% cut since April 1st, which will be reflected in the second quarter report, Tether announced on Tuesday. And that's in sharp contrast to earlier reports. On June 30th, 2021, commercial paper and certificates of deposit totaled $30.8 billion, or 49% of Tether's assets at the time. Tether has also slightly reduced its cash deposits from $4.2 billion to $4.1 billion, and increased its U.S. Treasury bond holdings from $34.5 billion to $39.2 billion since the last report. The other investments category, which includes digital tokens, has remained consistent, falling from just above to just under $5 billion. This area, although small in context, has been thought of as the most troubling aspect of the attestation reports because of the uncertainty about what exactly these assets are, which Tether does not disclose. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has more preliminary results from the latest transparency report, and like I said, after the headlines, we'll be digging a bit deeper into this topic. But in the meantime, U.S. cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Global is pausing new hiring for 2 weeks and slashing cloud spending at Amazon Web Services, along with other cost-cutting measures following its recent weaker-than-expected earnings report and the overall crypto market rout. Coinbase also told employees it will give them more stock grants to offset half the difference between ones made earlier this year and Coinbase's closing share price last Friday, according to reporting from The Information. CoinDesk's Michael Belushi has more on this one. And finally, first came the meme coins, then the JPEGs, and now FTX US is going for the original retail investing play, stocks. The Chicago outpost of Sam Bankman-Fried's trading empire said it will begin testing stock trading functionality for a handful of US users on Thursday, quote, "Our goal is to offer a holistic investing service for our customers across all asset classes," the company's president said in a statement that did not provide a timeline for a wider rollout. According to the release, FTX US will not charge commissions or trading fees in keeping with the low-cost brokerage model that Robinhood, which Sam Bankman-Fried also recently became a large investor in, rode to fame. The exchange also said they plan to let customers fund their accounts in the stablecoin, USDC. CoinDesk's Danny Nelson reports on this one. And in lighter news, here's Adrian Blost.
Thank you, Adam. What's good, everybody? After Yuga Labs' disastrous non-fungible token or NFT minting for its Other Side Metaverse land sale, costing investors more than $100 million in transaction fees, board members of the Bored Ape Yacht Club-linked ApeCoin DAO are listening to offers about migrating ApeCoin off Ethereum, CoinDesk has learned. Two suitors are Avalanche and Flow, according to executives at the firms behind both networks. Both blockchains consider themselves to be better suited for hosting a large-scale NFT ecosystem like the one Yuga Labs is building. So let's dig into this a bit. In the case of an Avalanche move, Yuga's ecosystem would be able to exist on its own subnet, which is a technology that allows the transactions of a single application to be isolated without clogging the broader network. On the other hand, Flow's blockchain offers a similar value proposition, having already proven its capability of handling high transaction volumes with NBA Top Shot, which sees tens of thousands of transactions each day. Dapper Labs, the company behind Flow, also created the blockchain out of a similar necessity following its famous CryptoKitties NFT debacle that temporarily choked Ethereum in a similar proportion to the Other Side sale. So we'll stay tuned and report back once they decide which blockchain to go with. CoinDesk's Eli Tan reports. And sticking in the world of NFTs, the Solana NFT market is beginning to find its stride, with daily transactions on the ecosystem's leading marketplace, Magic Eden, now topping OpenSea, its Ethereum blockchain counterpart. According to weekly data from DappRadar, Magic Eden has seen roughly 275,000 daily transactions, which includes purchases, bids, and listings, compared with OpenSea's 50,000, according to weekly data from DappRadar. This one also comes courtesy of CoinDesk's Eli Tan.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Today's featured story is an opinion piece from JP Koenig, a CoinDesk columnist. Today's piece is entitled, What to Watch For in Tether's Upcoming Attestation Report. With the crypto bull market turning into a rout, speculators and investors have been cashing out of stablecoins in droves. Into this chaos, the world's largest stablecoin issuer, Tether, is about to publish its most important reserve or attestation report ever. Here's why Tether's upcoming attestation is key and what investors are probably looking for. It's been a difficult few months for stablecoins. According to data from Coinmetrics available at The Block, the total value of the stablecoin market has fallen from $182 billion in April to $154 billion today, a quick 15% reduction. Most stablecoins have hewed tightly to their peg through the great stablecoin pullback of 2022, including the second and third ranked coins, USDC and Binance USD, each of which is US domiciled. The decline in the value of these stablecoins comes purely from a fall in quantity as people convert stablecoins into actual US dollars. The pegs of large decentralized collateralized stablecoins such as MakerDAO's DAI have also held as people redeem them for underlying collateral like Ethereum and USDC. This shrinking in the quantity of stablecoins is a healthy market reaction. Given the crypto activity has petered off over the last months, fewer stablecoins are needed to grease the rails of the crypto economy. It's the task of stablecoin issuers to hoover up unwanted stablecoins in order to contract their supply and keep their price locked at $1. But alas, other stablecoin pegs have broken down completely. Most famously, Terra UST, an under-collateralized algorithmic stablecoin that, at the time of writing, is trading at around 9 cents. Several other uncollateralized stablecoins, including Neutrino USD and Deus Finance's DAI, have also experienced large deviations from their peg. Kava Network's USDX recently fell to 80 cents, reportedly due to its exposure to Terra USD backing. Then there's Tether, or USDT, the world's largest stablecoin. The price of Tether on large exchanges like Coinbase, Binance, Uniswap, and FTX temporarily plunged to 95 cents on the dollar on March 12th. It's since risen back towards $1. But the price of Tether is not quite clawed back to the exact same $1 watermark to which it adhered prior to March 12th. It's trading at just under $1 on major centralized exchanges like FTX and Coinbase. On the decentralized stablecoin market curve, 100,000 USDT can only be converted into 99,851 USDC, a small but notable discount. Also worrisome is the continued unbalancing of Curve's 3-pool, a major source of stablecoin liquidity, with Tether now making up for 74% of value locked in. All this suggests that there's still too many Tether stablecoins in the market, and that the only remedy is additional supply contractions. Tether has already shrunk dramatically over the last few weeks. After hitting a peak of 83.2 billion USDT in circulation just last week, redemptions have reduced this amount by 11% to 74.2 billion. To repeat, there's nothing unhealthy per se about a supply contraction. The demand for Tethers is lower, and supply must be reduced to adjust to this demand. However, more redemptions will be necessary to return Tether to its tight $1 peg across all trading venues. Add to this the possibility that the prices of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other coins may fall further, inducing additional contractions in stablecoin supplies, and Tether could have another few billion in shrinkage ahead of it. So is that something that Tether can handle? Unfortunately, the great stablecoin pullback of 2022 comes at an inopportune time for Tether users. Thanks to the issuer's policy of only publishing reserve reports every 90 days, they face a shortage of timely information about the assets used to back USDT. When a stablecoin issuer issues stablecoins into the market, it normally keeps a corresponding asset in reserve to secure or back the stablecoin's peg. As redemptions requests arrive, these reserves get used up. And because the stablecoin's reserves are key to guaranteeing stability, the big centralized stablecoin issuers have adopted the practice of providing information about their assets. In regularly published attestation reports, an independent auditor is asked to offer assurances about the quantity and composition of reserves backing the stablecoin. The people behind USDC and Binance USD publish monthly attestations. But alas, Tether has the slowest release schedule of the bunch, reporting on a quarterly basis. With Tether's March 31st attestation report still not published, investors find themselves having to fall back on Tether's December 31st, 2021 report. But that was an eon ago in cryptocurrency time. There was plenty to like from Tether's old report. As of December 31st, 44% of Tether's $79 billion in assets were held in safe U.S. government-issued treasury bills. This constitutes a big improvement from previous quarters. For instance, when Tether first began to report its asset composition to the public in early 2021, only 2% of its assets had been placed in treasury bills, while a hefty 50% had been allocated to riskier commercial paper, and the rating of this paper was not reported. The amount of commercial paper Tether holds has been steadily reduced over time, reaching 31% on December 31st. And thanks to improved disclosures by Tether, we now know the rating of this paper. Most was A1 or A2, which qualifies as investment grade. Another $4.2 billion, or 5%, was invested in safe cash and bank deposits as of December 31st. This combination of safe assets, cash, investment-grade commercial paper, and treasury bills will have been great fodder for meeting the first $9 billion or so in Tether redemptions. It will be invaluable for subsequent waves of redemption requests, too. These improvements are the result of an awkward and confrontational dance between Tether executives and so-called Tether truthers. To counter critics, the company has been forced to cough up ever more internal data, which has fueled better criticism, which has pushed Tether to make follow-up changes like shifting into safer assets like treasury bills. Tether now has a serviceable frontline defense against redemptions, thanks in no small part to its critics. But there were problems in Tether's December 31st attestation too. The most concerning part was the $5 billion in other investments, which comprised 7% of Tether's total assets. What exactly are these investments? Did their value suffer in the generalized crypto price collapse of the last few months? Unfortunately, we don't know the answer to these questions because Tether doesn't disclose any information about its other investments. Another less-than-stellar contribution to Tether's December 31st reserve report was the 10% invested in a combination of secured loans, $4.1 billion, and corporate bonds, funds, and precious metals, $3.6 billion. Tether provides few details about the quality of these investments. These are all questions a Tether owner will probably want more clarity on as they watch Tether meet the current round of redemptions. In its upcoming March 31st attestation report, which Tether should be publishing any day now, investors will be looking for some assurance on these issues. So what would the perfect March 31st attestation report look like? Ideally, between December 31st and March 31st, Tether will have shifted even more of its customers' funds into treasury bills and cash. One hopes this movement into treasury bills will have displaced riskier investments, particularly the murky other investments category. The safer Tether's assets were going into the great stablecoin pullback of 2022, the more confidence investors can have that Tether's peg will hold. Investors will also want to know more about the quality of Tether's more opaque investment categories. Without clarity, they could start to worry that Tether's other investments or secured loans were impaired during the big drop in crypto prices. And these worries, warranted or not, could ignite additional redemptions as Tether holders line up to get dibs on Tether's safest treasury bill collateral. In addition to the hoped-for improvements to Tether's investment quality, the top stablecoin needs to publish attestations on a more frequent basis in order to remove informational dry spells like the one investors currently find themselves in. Tether once boasted that it leads the industry in transparency, but it's behind USDC on this front, which provides monthly reports. Even better would be to copy competitor TrueUSD and go real-time. Can't sleep on a Saturday night and want to see if your stablecoin is still well-backed? TrueUSD provides 24/7 real-time attestations. Stablecoin owners shouldn't have to rely on information from 137 days ago to deal with breaking market conditions. So let's hope that Tether's attestation comes out soon and dispels any worries. It remains the most important utility in the crypto economy, and everyone is watching. Hey folks, just a quick note, you can join me at CoinDesk's Consensus 2022. Festival for the Decentralized World this June 9th through 12th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the largest and longest running event showcasing and celebrating all sides of the blockchain and crypto ecosystems, as well as Web3 and the metaverse. And it's designed for crypto newbies, investors, entrepreneurs, developers, and creators. If you want to save some money, you can use code MarketsDaily15, that's MarketsDaily15 with no spaces, to get 15% off your pass. To get your pass today, visit coindesk.com/consensus2022. Thanks for listening.